Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to look at His Word, and we are still in the story of the resurrection. And I believe that God has been guiding us and giving us insight into this. And yesterday we were able to see about the disciples of Jesus, their unbelief, and Jesus revealing to them. And, you know, the second time He even, breathes unto them the Holy Spirit, and He tells Thomas, blessed are those who have seen me, who have believed without seeing me. And we were able to conclude that we are those that have seen, that have believed without seeing Him. But as I said, the greatest sight that God gives us is to see Him through the Scriptures, which is why He, on the road to Emmaus, He ensured that the disciples were able to see Christ. And even when He meets His disciples, He opens their understanding of the Scriptures. And really, one level of blindness is just when we can't see Christ through the Scriptures. But when we start to see Christ revealed in the Scriptures, then we know that our eyes are open, our eyes of understanding are open. And this is really the prayer that even Paul prays for the church. Remember, in the Ephesian churches, in Ephesians chapter 1, 15 to 16, he says that, ever since I heard of your faith, I have not prayed that Lord will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And one of the things that I'll tell you, pray this prayer for yourself daily, that Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And you will be shocked what God will do in your life. God will open up the Scriptures for you, and you will start to connect things that did not make sense. And for me, I can say this is one of the turning points in my life, when I started to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and God just opens your eyes. One day He just opens your eyes, and you start to see the end and the beginning. You see the connecting dots, and then you realize that actually He has answered that prayer. And especially if you want to be a student of the Word, I'll really encourage you to keep praying to God for that spirit of wisdom and revelation. And God is faithful. There's nothing that we ask of Him. Remember, He says, if we ask, we seek, we knock. And He says, God is faithful of those who ask of Him, of the Holy Spirit. So the context is asking for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes in different dimensions, different streams. He comes in the streams of wisdom, the streams of power, in the streams of riches, in the streams of leadership. There's so many streams, miracles, that evangelism, all these are streams by which the Holy Spirit comes in, and He can manifest Himself to you, and just as He wills, but also through desire, God is able to release gifts by the desire. And that's why I say eagerly desire the greater gift, especially the gift of prophecy. And prophecy does not necessarily mean speaking of the future, but it basically means communicating the heart of God to a people. What is God's Spirit saying? What is God's message to a people? And that can be done through sermons or through teaching, and basically just being able to communicate the Word of God. So that is really the spirit of prophecy. Now, to look at where we are today. Today we are going to look at the book of John, and maybe we'll start with chapter 20 at the last verses, which is verse 30 and 31, and then we'll go into John chapter 21. So in John chapter 20, verse 30, and the Bible says that, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." Now, someone has described the book of John as a book of life. John's perspective was to reveal that Jesus is the Son of God. And I want you to understand that when we say the Son of God, for us, we might think, oh yeah, what does it mean? But it's really being equal to God. It's really being God Himself. It's really meaning God coming in the flesh. That means the Son of God, and that is why He was crucified. Remember, the Jews told Him, we are not crucifying you. We don't want to stone you for the miracles or this, but for you a mere man claiming to be equal to God and claiming to be the Son of God. So what we see is that just because Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, then they found fault with that. Now, the Gentiles never found fault with the message of being sons of God. Why? Because they knew that the gods come in the form of flesh and they expected it. But the Jews, who, based on their bringing, based on their understanding, where God told them that do not make any graven image, they did not expect that God can come in the form of flesh. And that is why it was always a stumbling block to them. And it is a message of foolishness to them, but for us who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. So it is very important that we see that John, in fact, when John writes his epistle, he does not write every miracle that Jesus did. He does not, you know, he does not try to work so hard to prove to us or to go line by line, but he picks, actually, there are like seven specific signs that he picks that point us that he is the Son of God. If you can see the miracles that are done, that John portrays in his book, opening the eyes of the man born blind, these are only miracles that were done by God. You understand? Look at raising of Lazarus from the dead. Like, he goes into detail to give us these seven, and maybe I'll ask you to take a study. And you can also see there the seven statements that Jesus makes about who he is, and the way, the truth of life, and the life, I am the good shepherd. There are seven statements that he gives. So John just gave a detailed account of who the Christ is, that Jesus is the Son of God. And beyond that, he tells us that if all the books in the world will not be enough to write everything that Jesus did. And I think that when he concludes it in the conclusion of John chapter 21, that, and there are many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world could not contain the books that will be written. That means that it's not that there were so many that books will not be enough, but it is the world cannot contain it. That means that it is too much to bear, and that's why, remember, Jesus was telling his disciples that, I have much to tell you, but since you're slow of learning, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And maybe just to guide us there about the signs that Jesus did, to Acts, just which is the next chapter after the closure of John, in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, maybe I can say from verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, and after through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Now, the reason why I want to point this is John is already telling us that Jesus did many signs before his disciples to prove that he was the Son of God. And he says that these things are written for you to know and believe that he is the Son of God. But then now in the book of Acts, Luke tells us that, you see, that when Jesus was taken up, he appeared before his disciples, and he taught his disciples through the Holy Spirit, by the means of the Holy Spirit, he taught them for 40 days. And the Bible says that he presented himself alive after his suffering, or after his passion, by many infallible proofs. And we've been able to see some of the proofs where he told them to hold me, he told them to put their hands in his, where he was in his hands, where the wounds were, the imprint. He told them to touch his feet, he told them to touch his side. He ate with them, he asked for fish, he ate with them. We also see that he also appears again for Timothy, sorry for Thomas, and is able to breathe on them the Holy Spirit. And also in John chapter 21, we'll be able to see, if God allows us, that he is also able to, you know, to take them by the sea and to give them another miraculous catch. But one of the things that I was asking myself, what is it that Jesus was so concerned about during, you know, his resurrection period? And one of the things that we see, one is that he really wanted them to believe and to be sure that he had resurrected. And that is why the Bible says that he wanted them to be clear that they have not seen a ghost. You know, Jesus could have resurrected and just gone to heaven direct, you understand? I mean, and yes, he will have resurrected, he will have overcome the grave, and he had defeated the grave. But you see, he wanted his apostles, his messengers, the ones that he had died for, that he is going to send, who are going to spread the gospel, that now we are over 1 billion Christians in the world in our present time, because of just 11 disciples and even 12 and even the others that they are able to see. Now, the Bible says that he presented himself by many infallible proofs. That means he gave them proof that he was alive. Also, the other thing that we see, that he also gave them commandments. Now, it's interesting that we at times think that there are no commandments in the new creation or in the new covenant, but one of the greatest commandments of the new covenant is the covenant of love, or is the commandment of love. But you can see that Jesus, to his apostles, he gave them commandments. Why do I say that? Now, you, as in your current walk with God, there are certain things that God will start to teach you that he expects, that he expects you to do. And these are unique commandments to you. It might be an area of giving, it might be an area of fasting, it might be an area of study of the word. And these are what are called unique commandments or unique consecrations that the Lord gives you in your walk with God. And now you can see, to the apostles, he gave them commandments by the Holy Spirit, whom he had chosen. So one, he appeared, he proved himself. Then he gave them commandments by the Holy Spirit. And remember also, he also breathed on them, which was a very important aspect. And that one, we explained that in the same way that God breathed on Adam when he made him from the ground, Jesus, who is God, also breathes on his disciples, and he tells them, receive the Holy Spirit. And the other also very important aspect that we see is that he spoke to them things pertaining the kingdom of God. And remember, if you go further in this chapter, you will see they ask, Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And verse 7, he tells them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons by which the Father has put by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we can see that Jesus was concerned that, one, not only do they become witnesses, he also teaches them about the kingdom of God, to understand the kingdom of God. Remember now, he's not teaching them about salvation. And that's why I say there is always a level of growth that one moves from understanding the gospel of salvation, which is the gospel of grace, of turning to God and knowing that it is only the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross that is able to make us saved. And then you turn now and you enter into the kingdom of God. And now when you are in the kingdom of God, you now understand, now it is about service, it's about obedience to the king, it's about worship, it's about your dedication, by which you grow in your consecration to God, and by which he is able to use you. And all this is through the Holy Spirit. And that's why he tells them, you will be my witnesses, you will be my functionaries, you will be my ambassadors, you're going to be the ones that I will send. How do we know that the disciples believed? They were ready to die for the sake of the gospel. they were able to die for it. In fact, I think there is a detailed account that gives of how each and every of the disciples died. You know, there are those who died in India, like Thomas, he died in India. And you know, some were eaten by wild animals, some were burnt on the stake, some were crucified. Peter was crucified upside down. John, they tried to kill him. They threw him in burning oil. He did not die until they exiled him to the island of Patmos, where we believe he died of old age because they were unable to kill him. But you see, that witness that someone has seen the Lord, and this is something that anyone that has met the Lord will know that without a shadow of doubt, that even if you need to take their lives, it does not matter. Why? Because they have met the risen Lord and they know that he is the resurrection and the life and that he is able to bring them back to life again if needed. So what we see is that the Lord himself was able to show himself faithful, to show himself, you know, alive to his disciples, and by this he is able to establish them in that place of, you know, knowing that without a shadow of doubt that he is alive. And I want to give us another verse that also shows how in the period that Jesus resurrected and why he had to give them many infallible proofs, and he had to show them, you know, this is about showing that he is the Son of God. And the greatest show that he is the Son of God is just the resurrection. The resurrection proves that he is the Son of God, because there's no one, there's no religious leader, there's no one, there's no religion that has claims in the resurrection, that have the power that someone said that I am going to die and I'm going to be resurrected, predicting the exact time, the exact day you'll be resurrected apart from us. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, I want us to see what Paul says about those that also saw that Christ was alive. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3, the Bible says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So there was a witness of the Scriptures, "and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas," here referring to Peter, "and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me as by one born out of due time." Now, this is very interesting when we see that Christ revealed himself after he was risen. One, he was seen, and I, of course, they did not include the women, but remember, the first witnesses were the women, but you know, the culture there did not respect the word of the women. But we can see that he was seen by Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren. That means when in the day of his ascension, he was able to be seen by actually 500 people who were seen at once. And the Bible says, at once they saw him, and great number of them remain alive in the time of Paul, although some of them have died. And then he was also seen by James. So the Bible is telling us, and Paul is trying to tell us, that look here, Jesus not only appeared to the disciples, not only appeared to Cephas, not only appeared to Mary Magdalene, but he also appeared to Peter, which is the encounter that we see by the Sea of Galilee, where they go back to fishing. Then we also see the encounter that he is seen by the 500 on the day of his ascension. But then beyond that, we also see one that is just a slight mention, which is seen by James. Now, that tells you that Jesus, there was enough evidence of the risen Lord. There were witnesses, living witnesses, that proved that Christ resurrected. Why? And then even Paul himself says that, last of all, he was seen by me as one born out of due time. Paul considered himself that, oh, I wish I was born the time when Jesus walked on the earth, when time when Jesus was alive. He feels that he was born one out of due time. But you see, he still has the witness that he saw the risen Christ and the risen Lord. So we have a lot of witnesses of the resurrection to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. And these things are written for our sake, for us to understand, for us to believe. And I pray that may God help us to have the faith. Remember, the Bible says, blessed are those who have not yet seen, but have believed. It is more blessed for us. We are blessed. Why? Because through the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we have the inner confirmation that the Christ is alive. And really, if you know that Jesus is alive, then that means that if you die today, you go to be with him. That means the power that raised him from the dead, that same power of the Holy Spirit is living in you and is able to give life to your body, is able to give life to your career, is able to give life to your dreams, is able to give life to everything that concerns you, to your family, to your nation. Why? Because the same power is available us today. The same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that he pours out on us. And that's why he tells his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you are endowed with power, until you are clothed with power from on high. Tarry, wait. I'll encourage us today as witnesses of Christ today, as living witnesses, those that Christ appears to, those that he will reveal himself to us. Even today, the Lord reveals himself to us. And I say primarily through the scriptures. If God happens to give you an encounter, well and good. It may be for a special call that he's calling you. But if he does not give you a special call, he is available for us to see him each and every day in the scriptures. And I pray that God will give us more insight into it. I'll stop there for today, and by the grace of tomorrow, we'll be able to continue at another time. So welcome, my brother, as the Lord leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. Thank you. That's quite clear, and I think if indeed, because I think the life of Christ was all purpose one thing, and that was die on that cross, sake of our sins. And if his death was not, if the death was not followed by the resurrection, I think the purpose of it would have not been fulfilled. And that is what the enemy was fighting the most. The world that indeed, because I know the enemy did not know that Christ was purposed to die. I think when Christ died, he thought he had won.
True.
You know, he had won. He didn't know that he was just playing in the scripture. He was just fulfilling it. So I think later on we realized, this is what was intended. I think he tried all his level, try and, cover up the resurrection. That is why the guards off and all that, to spread the lies that indeed the body was just stolen. And you also see that before Christ appeared to the disciples, they were all disillusioned, they were all scattered, they were all living it. You know, if your master is killed, you know, what chaos and confusion. And the coming of Christ, I think, showing himself as alive for them, re-energize them and give them new hope, you know, renew faith in them to face any challenge. That's when you say that they were now ready to die. You know, they went through all awful kind of treatment. Some of them died really in most terrible ways. But had seen it, they had lived it.
Yeah.
You know, the 40 days when he was with them, there's nothing that would take away that that witness, that experience that they went through.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. And I was just looking, someone they said, Mary had not, I think, come to Christ, had not seen God until she believed he had left the tomb, you know, until she believed that Christ was resurrected, is not dead. You know, as Christians and other non-Christians who do not believe that Christ is dead, until you believe that indeed Christ resurrected, you know, is when you will know. And that is when you will experience him. That's when you will see him and know that indeed he's alive. Because if someone is dead, how will you see them? You will not see them. But if that they're alive, that's when you will see.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that I think as Christians we need to believe that Christ indeed resurrected and is well and alive and will come back and do something.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah, I would say that yes, it's quite clear. And I was also thinking about the sermon yesterday when I was talking about when they're saying, "Who among you? There's nothing on earth, not in heaven, not even under the earth that can break the seven seals."
Yeah,
but when it was said, "Look closely," because Christ was. And no one was looking there among the dead. No one was.
Yeah.
But indeed, there is a power.
Mm.
So that, see how the enemy was very. He thought he had silenced Christ. He's dead. He's on the. Oh. But even in his death, things were happening.
Yeah.
Again. So that is it. And yes, thanks for the word.
Amen. Thank you for the great addition there. Yeah, it's indeed a great reflection. The enemy thought he had won. Oh, but he was shocked. And that is why we have the confidence that the devil does not know our future. God knows. And what the enemy meant for bad, God turns it around for good. Let us just give thanks to God for the word. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the resurrection, that indeed it is the resurrection that gives us hope, gives us life, gives us encouragement. We praise your name. And I pray for the power of the resurrection today, that Lord may it work in our lives, work in our families, work in our children, work in our bodies, work in our workplaces, work in our businesses, in everything that we do, in even our nations, oh God. May that power come alive in our church, that indeed we shall see an outpouring of life, understanding, growth, spiritual growth, and that even those that are lost will come back to the fold, and even new ones will appear, O God, to the praise and honor of your holy name. We trust in you and we depend upon you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day, my brother. Bye-bye.